The Market Research Podcast Award is back, and it's time to nominate your favorite kick-ass market research podcast for a chance to win the coveted title of MR Podcast of the Year. Nominations are open now through June 30th, and voting will open from July 1st to August 1st. The winner will be announced at Insights Marketing Day on September 28th. Make your nominations today at littlebirdmarketing.com/MR-podcast-award. Will your favorite Insights podcast make the cut?
Welcome to the Mind State Marketing Hour, the podcast for business owners like you who want to learn about behavioral science and how it can transform your marketing and drive more business. This unique concept comes from Will Leach, author of Marketing to Mind States, and co-host Steve Brown, the author of The Golden Toilet. Every week, they bring you the latest in behavioral science-based marketing to uncover practical, real-world methods to designing marketing that compels your customer to listen, care, and act. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to the Mind State Marketing Hour podcast. With that, let's get into this week's show.
It's the Mind State Marketing Hour with Will Leach. He's our favorite scientist. And we have a conversation coming up with Chase Buckner. He's the director of product marketing, customer marketing at High Level. Chase, you're in the house, brother.
I am. Can you guys see? Hey.
Yes. Hey, Chase, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. You sound great. You look great. It's going to be a good show. I can already tell.
All right, yeah, awesome. We're excited. So Chase,
there we go.
Chase, Will and I just kind of chit-chat for a minute here, and then we interrogate our guests, and you're our guest today.
Oh, bring it on.
All right. So in the Mind State Marketing Hour, this is based around Will's book, Marketing to Mind States.
Okay.
And if you're not familiar with this book, those listening in the audience, if you're creating content for your customers, you're creating what I call one size fits all content. And if you're not aware of the state of mind that folks are in when they're considering your product, then you're just like going to TJ Maxx and just, I'll take any shirt as long as it's that one size content. Right. But if you can understand, if they're like in a cautious achievement mind state, then you would address your content to speak to that mind state. And that's what Will's book is about. That's what this conversation surrounds. And we brought Chase Buckner. He's one of the guys that I follow, and he's been an agency owner. He's a big shot at High Level. It's a marketing and sales automation software that everyone is learning about at this day and time. But Chase understands how hard it is to take care of clients, to create a platform, and then help them with their messaging. So this is, he's going to bring some great insights on this. Will, Chase, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Of course. You want to start us off, Steve? You want me to jump right in with the interrogation? Where do we put the blindfold on Chase? That's where I need to. Yeah. Is there a guy behind the scenes that's going to put the blindfold on him?
No, well, we're going to throw cold water on him.
That's right.
You go, Will.
Yeah. So, you know what I like to do here, Chase, welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming here. You know, what we do a lot of times, we talk about psychology and the importance of bringing psychology into marketing creative. And though I know you live in the world of marketing creative, maybe you're not doing the actual creative anymore, but that was your world from what I could tell for a little bit. So, you know, just first off, like, give everybody out there a sense of who you are, what's your background, and like, how did you get into the field that you're in right now? What was that pathway?
Sure. Yeah. So I consider my journey to be pretty typical in the agency space, which is started out as, you know, the techie friend or cousin or nephew who people start asking, hey, I got to set up a calendar for my job. Could you help me with that? Or, hey, I need a website. And, you know, I just enjoyed kind of figuring that kind of stuff out. Actually took a job as a webmaster for a luxury travel company here in Mexico when I first got down here. which was I was in no way qualified for, but it was amazing because I got to kind of build my chops, right? Taught myself how to build WordPress sites, started studying a ton of marketing, all that kind of stuff, to the point where it was like, I think I could open an agency if I just knew a developer. And then like out of nowhere, fate introduced me to a good friend of mine, Graham, who was a developer. And I was like, hey, we should start, I think I want to quit my job and we should start an agency. So we did that and we fell flat on our faces.
Of course. That's right.
It lasted about a year and a half, I think, 2 years maybe. And we learned all the hard lessons really fast. And plus we were in Mexico, which was even harder because most businesses down here, especially at that time, the concept of like a marketing budget was really non-existent. And so, and at that time, Graham was like, you know what? I don't even really want to be a developer anymore. I want to be a photographer. And so we disbanded the company. And at that point, I was listening to a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk, who was talking about things that were totally radically changing my mindset. Like, you know, number 18 at Facebook is a multimillionaire. You know what I mean? Like you don't, not everybody needs to be the founder. Maybe that's not you. Maybe, you know, and I was like, wow, you know what? I think I could be an amazing number two. And Gary actually, it was during that year when he did an interview a day and anybody could just like sign up if you got in line, and he interviewed this guy, Matt Coffey, who was starting an agency, who I immediately thought was like, that's the yang to my yin. He's a sales guy. I hate sales. He could sell clients all day long, and then I could just make sure that the work gets done. And so I reached out to him, pestered him. He was like, cool. Can you make a... He threw me into the worst job I think I could imagine as a marketer, which is, okay, I want you to start making monthly SEO video reports.
Oh yeah, that's
so
exciting.
When you have to dance around why your rankings haven't skyrocketed in a video, if you can do that, you can do anything. And so I started doing that, and that worked out. And then I was like, you know, Matt, the way that you're currently doing things here is not good. And we basically blew it up and started from scratch again. And I was like, wow. We need to build a team overseas. So we built the team out in the Philippines. And then we, you know, over like 6-7 years, we ramped it up to 7 figures. And during that journey, we at some point reached the point where I think a lot of smart agency owners do, which is, man, we're tying a lot of softwares together. What if we just built our own? We could take this further. Luckily, we did not do that. But it set us on a path that eventually found the V1 of high level, jumped on that, knew it was what we needed and what every agency was going to need. And while I kind of went into like a bunker for a month and told my team, hey, I'm going to go build out our SOPs with this thing so that next month, the next new client, we're going to onboard them on this. And while I was doing that, Sean, the CEO of High Level, every week was like calling me, like, show me what you've done. What are we missing? Da, 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 da. And it just got to a point where it was like, would you want to join the team? And I jumped at it because I was like, this is an amazing opportunity for me to go and help push a product that I know everyone like me is going to want. And so that's how I got here.
So I learned about Chase. I think that I learned about you when I was watching an interview with Jasper. I think you were, you were being interviewed by them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I was in that agency world where we're delivering this white glove service for all our clients, but it's a tough battle. It's not for sissies, right? And you have to, there's always something around each corner that's going to come out and punch you when you think everything's good. And I knew that things needed to improve. And so when I heard that conversation with you with being interviewed by Jasper,
it was a
different name at that time. That's when I learned about High Level. And what I loved about High Level and the messaging, which will lead us to this conversation here, the messaging understood that as an agency owner, I'm struggling with the status quo. Things are rough and tumble. You're never out of the woods. And there's got to be a better way. and high level had a path and a tool, a vehicle to get me there and help change my mindset. And that's when I started following Chase. And I think that messaging was dialed in. And Will, I'm going to put you on a spot, but when I describe that message in your book, the many different categories.
Yeah. Mindset,
What is that category that I just described?
Yeah, I mean, where my head was going was honestly in the space of what we call optimistic empowerment mind state, meaning that you're seeking more control. Like the world out there is tough. You want more control of your agency, more success. Well, success would be a little more on achievement motivation, but that's really what that came down to. And so let's say, for instance, Chase, for your background, let's say if that idea of my desire for more control, was what you're going for. People like Steve, who are seeing the world as rough and tumble, we have to differentiate ourselves. How do I take more control over my business? Well, then now there are specific words, phrases, frameworks, visuals that you can do to, and it sounds like you did it just naturally, which I love about what we're going to talk about. So you just maybe naturally, is that's part of what you saw as well. And because you were using those right words, those right triggers, it gets somebody like Steve to think about and go, there's something, I connect with this guy. This guy's talking like me. And in my world of behavioral psychology, the idea is that the more intuitive language can be, the more kind of it feels like you totally get me, the more likely you are to stop and engage. And then there's a whole bunch of other benefits on top of that as well. So in my world, Steve, it's probably optimistic empowerment.
Yeah. I was definitely picking that up. And what I was relating with Chase is when you're running an agency, the people you're serving, they're looking to you to help them figure out this messaging for their platform. And each one's different. And usually in the world, the default is, well, whoever's just more persuasive and convinces you what should go on there. And there's no formula to go by. And what I learned about StoryBrand and what I learned about Mind State Marketing, that totally revolutionized my world.
Well, what's interesting is, and I think the great tragedy of the agency industry is most marketers don't even have the opportunity to get to the point to do higher level marketing, which I think you guys are describing. Mm-hmm. And because they're falling through these traps that it takes years to learn to avoid. And one of them is not niching, right? Steve, you just described that. If you just start taking clients from any industry, it's so hard to get to the second level of marketing for any one of them because you're constantly being asked to do something new from scratch every time. And so I think you have to niche. The sooner you do, the sooner you get to the second level and you start learning the nuances of that industry, which brings in new language. Oh, we don't call them clients. We call them partners in this industry or patients or whatever it may be. Oh, you know, they think they want to sell cheap Botox, but what they actually want to sell is high-ended cool sculpting. How do we take the thing they want and give them the thing that they need? Like, you just start to learn all that when you focus on one industry. But in order to get there, you have to learn how to say no. It's so hard to say no to somebody who's waving money in front of your face, but it's a trap. And I think there's several traps. The two other biggest epiphanies I've had along the way that hopefully will help people out that are listening are there's this huge disconnect between business owners and marketers in that business owners think they want leads and leads are what's going to solve their problem. The problem is they're used to referrals. They're used to talking to people who have already been recommended by somebody. So they hire a marketer for leads. A marketer starts running ads on Facebook and sending name, email, phone numbers. They do nothing with it because they don't know what to do with that. And then you end up in this battle at the end of 30 days going, these leads stink. And the marketer's going, what do you mean? Did you work those leads? And they're like, why should I have to work a lead? What does that mean? Because they're expecting referrals that just show up ready to buy, right? And so when I learned that and I was like, we have to do more than this as a lead gen agency. We have to actually do the nurture to turn this lead into the next step, which is either like, you know, they passed a survey filter or they made a booking of some sort. And that's where high level has changed a lot of people's lives in that we can automate emails and text messages to take a lead to the next step where the business owner is comfortable. Oh, I know what to do when somebody books a promotional first visit, $45 chiropractic appointment adjustment or whatever. I know what I'm doing now with that person. As opposed to like, I just have a list of name, email, phone numbers here. These people mean nothing to me. And so that was epiphany number one. epiphany number two is that there are certain services that we consider classic agency services that you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you suck at it, you're going to lose those clients, but you actually lose them if you're too good too. I can't tell you how many clients we've had say, well, we're already on page one now. You got us to page one. Why should we keep paying you for SEO? I don't understand that. We're canceling. Or we're getting too many leads. Mm-hmm. We didn't need this many, you know what I mean? Because the average business is really only capable of growing like 30, 40% before they have to open another location or whatever. And they're not there yet, you know? So we lost people all the time because we actually overperformed their expectations. And so that's, again, what brought me back around to high level, which is like, wow, we need a utility bill offering that keeps the lights on and keeps us chugging while people come and go for these higher ended services. And that's when you can get to that second level marketing where you're actually like A/B testing things, testing copy, going into psychology, going deeper in an industry. And again, it's a tragedy because I feel like most marketers never get to that level.
That's an incredible perspective. I mean, I just saw Steve nodding a lot, and it's something that some traps that I fall in as well, Chase. Let's talk for a minute about creative development itself. Mm-hmm. So some people are trying to do it in-house. We have artificial intelligence technologies that are allowing anybody to create ads. Like you said, there are some people, and probably my guess is there's a lot of people like you, Chase, that entered into the industry, maybe through a tech side, maybe through an internship, whatever. And now they're being asked to develop creative and they're just going to photo sites and bringing down stuff and they're doing their best. And frankly, some of it works, right? It just, some people get lucky. So can you walk me through, you know, even if though you may not be doing it now, but your creative process, like at some point somebody's asked you, I need an ad. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were just talking about this intuition you build, like, okay, so if you're talking about patients versus, you know, customers, well, then that obviously informs some of your creative ideas. But do you have a creative process that you can kind of talk about it? And how do you get the ideas that you needed back in the day to come up with actual creative, the language as well as the visuals?
Good question. So if we're talking ads, I think the classic mistake that most business owners make and most early marketers make is I'm going to make an ad telling somebody to buy something. And that's not how people work, right? And right. So once you understand, oh, I have to create an ad that's going to exchange something for somebody's information so that I can story tell them into buying something. And that is when you're doing real marketing. So yeah. I say, okay, what can you give away of value in exchange for somebody's email and phone number? Let's start there. What do you mean? I don't want to give anything away. No, it doesn't have to be like actual product that costs you money. What kind of knowledge are you sitting on that we can turn into something that we can give away, right? The top 10 things you need to know about Botox before you let somebody jab you with a needle, right? Something like that. And so that becomes, okay, great. Let's create that. And now we have an ad. Hey, you know, interested in Botox? Don't get jabbed by a needle before you know these 10 things. Oh, wow. That sounds like I should check that out. Great. Yeah. Stick in my email. I get the thing. I read it. Oh, that was valuable. And now every day I'm getting an email that furthers the story, right?
Yeah.
Meet Dr. Bob, who's going to be holding the needle, and let's learn about him. Meet Susan, who got jabbed last week. And now look at her. She looks fantastic and has all this new confidence and stuff like that. So that's where I think I try to go.
Yeah.
Where don't go to try to sell something. You're just going to start wasting money.
Yep. And can I build on that real quick then? Mm-hmm. So you bring people into a story, which I love. That's narrative psychology. We study that a lot. And I'm sure if you know the story brand, there are different elements of every story that has to have. Mm-hmm. But as you're going through a story, there's going to be a point where you're going to ask the person who's entered into your story for money at some point, or you're just entertaining them. How do you know, or maybe, and I don't know if you really do know, maybe it's through A/B testing, but when do you bring that person out of the storytelling and giving them great value and saying, hey, let's do business? Is there a way of thinking about that for agency owners or small businesses out there?
That's where I do get kind of bullish, because I always build my nurture where you're getting the story, but there's always a call to action at the bottom.
Like, no matter where you are in the story.
Yeah. Ready to take the next step, right? Ready to talk to Dr. Bob. But again, you have to understand the full journey, right? Even during the storytelling, exchanging money is not the next step. right? They need to meet with Dr. Bob. That's an appointment. And yeah. So that's the next step that is my call to action. And then they meet Dr. Bob. They become to know, like, and trust Dr. Bob, and they're willing to exchange money for Dr. Bob. I think the best marketing leads someone to the point where they're saying, take my money, right? You're never telling them to give you your money. You're getting them to the point where they're saying, I get it. I trust you. I'm convinced. Please take my money. Can I have an appointment next week? Or please take my money. Can you send me that thing? And sure, it's easier said than done, because I think just understanding storytelling is a big deal. But that, to me, is the best marketing.
Yep.
Well, obviously, Kim's getting good value out of this conversation, Chase. Thanks for joining us today. So, Chase, you do a great job creating a lot of content for High Level. And walk us through how you think about, obviously you do podcasts, but you do a lot of instructional videos. And Dr. Bob's one of your common characters that you refer to all the time.
I beat up on Dr. Bob a lot.
But that's like a story character that you always add in for an example. But tell us how you plan out. High Level is a very complicated software system. Mm-hmm. It takes time to learn. And so your job is to make it simple and bite-sized and walk us into having confidence. Tell us the thought process that you kind of started and followed through to start producing all these little tutorials and then lead into live conversations.
Yeah, I think for me, I usually fall back on my skills as a writer. So I went to college to be an English teacher, actually. So I taught high school English for 2 years before I had an early life crisis and ran away to Mexico, which led me into marketing. But that's another story altogether. But for me, it always starts with a script. So I say, okay, what do we need to produce? And then I start writing it out. And I literally write, and I think this is hopefully a tip for people struggling with writing, because I see this all the time. People, you talk to them, and then you have them write something, and it's like, why does this sound like a robot or something? Like, that's not how you would say it to me, so why did you write it that way? So, like, literally, when I write scripts, I write in the wells and the, you know what I mean? Like, the things that would come out of my mouth, I write. And so... then I can literally, you know, like, I have a teleprompter that hooks onto my camera, and I can literally just read my scripts, because it's me. It's exactly how I would say it if I were live. It's just structured, so I'm not meandering or fumbling anymore. And so that's how I do it. I write it out, and then it's very helpful, especially with High Level, because I'll write it out, and then I go click around to make sure that, and I'm like, oh, no, you can't do that until you do this.
Get to step, yeah.
The scripts and, yeah, have to rework that part or whatever. But once you've got it on paper and you know that it's going to work, then the content's pretty easy. You just go from there.
But when you're thinking about who you're talking to, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's easy, because I was that person, right? I was the marketer at the agency, and that's why it's been so much fun for me, but a lot of the ideas come from our community, right? So every day somebody's commenting on a YouTube video or in Facebook group going, oh, that's so cool, but how would I use that to accomplish this? And there it is. It's a how-to video on how to go do that random thing that they want to use that feature to do. And a lot of times that's really fun, because it's like, I don't know if that's possible. Let me go see. And then if it is, great, I'll make the tutorial around that. And that's what's really fun, because there are oftentimes ideas or objectives that are not, 80% of our customer base are not going to go do it. But there's like 10% that are like, oh my gosh, that just changed the game for me, what I'm doing for my clients. And so it's super rewarding when you make a great piece of how-to content that really nails it for someone.
Love that. Well, I was real quick on that, I'm building on that idea. You know, you had said that since you were the client at one point, then you understand, you know, the psychology. So let me ask you, do you know, or do you believe that you can build that intuition, that psychology, that real deep understanding, if you weren't the client? Because you're, you know, let's say if you were giving Botox, right? Mm-hmm. But you're trying to figure that client out. So how do you build that intuition with that person? You said you're going to niche down or whatever, mm-hmm. which is a good perspective. And is that really the only way you do it? You niche and then you just keep listening, keep talking, keep listening. And eventually you become a Botox expert as an agency?
Man, that's such a good question. I don't know what the answer is. I think intuitively, no. And I think we struggle with this a lot. Like, how do you hire somebody off the street and teach them how to be a high level expert? It's really hard to do. If they're coming from the agency world, they're already on third base, you know? But I get proven wrong all the time. Like, Ian, our head of support, is actually here with me today. And that's what he does a lot of times. He takes somebody fresh off the street and trains them up to support people in high level, which is an incredibly tall task. I do think, I always say, look, if you're new to marketing, look around you. Who do you know that owns a business? Start there. Go to them and say, how can I help you? What are you struggling with? Oh, this is where I get killed. If I could just da, 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 da. Okay, great. Start there. Now you know that that industry has that problem and you know how to solve it, and go from there. At the same time, I think speaking to people like you, Will, and starting to study psychology can really advance you as a marketer, because it wasn't until 3 or 4 years in when I started being open to that kind of stuff. When you're just like, wait a minute, this is crazy. Did you know that the brain works like this? And like, all we have to do is like get you to do this. And now, you know, stuff like that, where it's like micro commitments, get me to say yes. And now I'm 10 times more likely to go where you want me to go. Right. And so you apply that to text message conversations every day, right? Hey, don't, okay, you just claimed a free teeth whitening voucher. I'm going to email you and say, Will, thanks for claiming the free teeth whitening. The next step is to get you booked for a cleaning. Click here to book. But when I text you, I'm not going to say, Will, book your teeth whitening. I'm going to say, Will, have you ever had teeth whitening before? Because I want you to text me back and say yes.
Yep, I have, yeah.
Because if I just get you to engage statistically, I'm like 80-something percent more likely to close you. So that psychology piece, I think, is very underutilized by marketers, but can often be a superpower for those that know how to leverage it.
You know, I'm getting ready to do a presentation to a group of folks. And I think one of the hardest things to do is to declare a niche. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you want to help everybody. And it's scary. It's a, you think about it, it is a commitment. So I'm going to say no to all this, and I'm just going to focus on this. So how do you decide on a niche? And I think why Chase is so good is what he does is because he has a heart for folks that have been in his shoes. So mm-hmm. if you think about his mind state, he innately understands the state of mind that agency owners are in. And that's why his content really resonates with them. So, you know, I would encourage folks that you have to, has to come from a why in you. There's a reason why you enjoy, it's fulfilling to you to help others figure out something really hard and confusing. And I think that's where Chase really excels. And that's how I would answer your question as far as picking a niche. Will, here, I want to go ahead.
This is a huge question. And I think for me, there are three answers. One is that niche doesn't have to mean industry. You can make a niche that is, hey, this used to be our niche. We only work with businesses who have been in business for more than 1 year, who are willing to offer something for free where the next step is a booking. We call it claim book. If we can run claim book campaigns for you, you're in our niche. If that's not going to work for you, then you're not in our niche, right? And you could be a plumber, a dentist, or whatever. As long as you've got something we can offer for free, that we can nurture somebody into booking something, we are for you. That you could start there. Then if you decide you want to niche into an industry, there are two paths. You can say, I'm going to go with an industry that's going to make a lot of money, which is totally viable, right? You could say, look, I could care less about gastronomy doctors, but I know they're typically older, wealthy men who have lower expectations because they're already doing very well. And all they need is a couple extra appointments a month and a nice looking website. And they'll pay me for years, $2,500 a month, no problem. If that sounds great to you, go for it. It'll work. Mm-hmm. if you're the type of person that needs to have passion in your daily job, that's not going to work for very long. And you're going to have to choose a niche that interests you in some way. And so I think a lot of people like me are in that camp where it's like, look, that industry doesn't have a lot of money. That's a bad choice. For me, it's restaurants. Yeah. But I love them. I love working with a restaurant, right? I loved helping them take great pictures of food. It's so easy to storytell around recipes and all of that. And I'm never going to get more than $500 a month from a restaurant. But you know what? It's worth it for me because I just like working with them, right? And so those are really your three choices. You either come up with an ironclad niche that could be multiple industries, but it has to be ironclad. Things like you've been in business for a year, you have X amount of employees, you have one decision maker, yada, yada, yada. If it's not that, then it's either, hey, I'm just in this for the money. Great. You can pick really great niches. There are some niches out there that are low stress, high ticket, just boring. And if that's not you, then you're going to have to do a passion niche and just understand that you're going to be lower ticket and you got to get really good at scaling. You should use a tool like High Level.
I agree. All right. So this is a great question that Bill has here. He's asking, do you think that the future of great marketing teams will have people that have movie script or advertising script writing on them? And I would answer it this way. I would say that all your content has to honor the rules of story or it's just going to fall flat. And by studying script writing, that's just basically a formula or a recipe to utilize content in a way that honors the rules of story that our brains crave.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that like marketers or businesses will open up a role of like, we need a movie script writer to join our team. I think marketers will use writers who know how to write scripts and storytell, right? Like, I love to use this guy, this dude, James Nolan. Hopefully he sees this because he's the man. He's this crazy dude up in Canada. He's got like this huge, like wild rock hair and he's like a drummer. And he's just so creative. And everything he writes is so captivating because he knows how to tell a story. And so I think, and that's why I'm not like in the, oh my gosh, GPT-4 is going to destroy content creators or whatever. Like, it's not. I think it's a tool that is very useful, but I can't imagine, and maybe I'll be disproven with GPT-5 or something, but to me, yeah, you're going to have to learn how to seek out these creative people that know how to tell a story. And it's when you find one and then you compare it to the content that you were producing, it's such a vast difference. And that, if you would have told me that like 8 years ago, I'd have been like, is it really that big of a difference? It is so shockingly different. Yeah. And until you see it, you probably won't believe that statement.
Hey Chase, you know, you're talking about, you gave an example of a Facebook ad before, but let me ask you this. So let's talk about the story again, and that, you know, you're trying to bring people into a story. But, you know, capturing somebody's attention in today's world is everything. It's so difficult. Now, I teach how do you grab somebody's attention? You speak to their aspirational goals, right? So I show them in the first visual I can do what success, what heaven, whatever you want to call it. We call it aspirational goals. And then we talk about features and things like our functional goals, things like that. However, I also know that you can just show a picture of a baby on Facebook and maybe it'll get somebody to stop or something kind of funny or whatever. And somebody's like, what the hell is that? And they click learn more, and all of a sudden you bring him in. And I think there's a balance, but either way, breakthrough is really important, especially if you're going to bring people in through some sort of a social media campaign. How do you think about strategies to get an ad like that breakthrough, just to capture somebody's attention? Do you go all like, let's scare them, or let's just has me not, just as long as I can get them to stop, that's my job, like you said, stop and get them to learn more? Or is there a combination of other things you're thinking to get that first ad, to get that breakthrough?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal is to, for me, get to as fast as possible, get to an ad that you know works and then use it for everyone in your niche. But to your point, you need to test them all. And I am in no way an expert as to what works better than the others. I am often shocked at what works, right? Like I will look at something and be like, that is terrible. And it outperforms my beautiful thing that I and the team spent 3 months making, right? Like the high level website makes us all cringe internally. We just can't beat it in split tests, right? And so, but that doesn't mean that we're not trying every month and every week, right? And so that's the point. I think you always do need to be testing things that you think are stupid or definitely not going to work or completely weird or whatever, because maybe that picture of that, you know, grinning baby is going to blow the doors off of that $5,000 video that you spent making. And as much as that's going to hurt, who cares?
As long as it works.
And once you know it works for one dentist, you know it's going to work for every dentist, at least for the foreseeable future. And things stop working, right? So you do need to constantly test and put aside 10% of a budget for a test budget or whatever. But yeah, I am often blown away by what I think looks terrible that really performs well.
You know, Chase, I'm going to put you on a spot. I'm curious about what questions you would be asking Will, you know, knowing about the content challenges that many agency owners are trying to do. They're trying to do the tactical things. I got ChatGPT, you know, that they're trying to get over that. But I'm curious what question you would ask Will.
I think I'm fascinated by what's happening in society and what that is it changing the things that psychologically worked really well now that we're in like this feed of like short attention span clips that are just, you know, oftentimes I'll look at my kids on their iPad blowing through TikTok videos and I'm like, probably not good for their brain, right? Like what's the long-term effect of this? It's probably going to change marketing tactics, right? Like I'd imagine it's going to get harder to get somebody to listen to a longer story at some point.
It is. Yeah. What I would tell you is social media started this idea of constantly having adrenaline in the system and dopamine as well. So because of the constant way our life is just more complex, just in general, not just advertising, like, you know, you're seeing anywhere between 8,000 and 10,000 advertisements a day, not brands like adverts. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're being hit all the time. Our kids are being hit all the time. Because of that, we get a lot more adrenaline. We get a lot more serotonin in our systems. And what that does is it creates a stress response. We're always under stress. And some people, you know, the medical community would say because of that stress, we're having chronic disease conditions, right? So let's just take that off the table. But I will tell you that your mind is constantly under stress because of that. We are becoming more and more addicted to that stress response. So you would think to yourself, as you become stressed, the human body actually wants to decompress. That's actually not what's happening. What's happening is that as we become more and more stressed, as your children keep swiping, as they keep on more, the human mind is actually adapting. The way it's adapting is I want the next thing. I want the next thing. I want the next thing. Cause you're getting a little spike of some of these drugs. So what I would suggest is that we're not going to have a shift to people wanting to get off of these devices, not consciously wanting to lessen those stress results. Like I've done a detox, a digital detox. It was awesome for 4 days. You know, I'd love it. I promised myself I was going to do it every weekend. I'm going to get off the devices, but we don't. And it's not because necessarily that, you know, my business is so critical. It's not that. It's that you have a desire for that at the biological level. So what that's going to mean is two things, I think. One thing it's going to mean is that people are going to expect all their emotional needs in one punch. It's going to be harder for you to take one go to one point, to another point, to another point, to another point to build that story because of all the people that are trying to build their stories within a timeline of what you're trying to get your customer to do it. Mm-hmm. They migrate over to something that gives them more of a rush. They just do. So it means that every piece of incremental creative has to be able, I think, psychologically be optimized. So when you said, you know, we know the baby performs well. I have no doubt that the baby could perform well. And I've done tests like that too. And oh my God, you put a puppy on an ad and I am going to get you to crush a click. But I think what's going to happen is that as puppies Well, Louis is trying to get in, Steve. I can't believe it. He hasn't made a show. He hasn't made a show for a long time.
That's because of Chase's voice.
Yeah, it's Chase's voice. What's going to happen is that you're going to have to provide more than just that. It's going to have to be the dog in context of an aspirational goal. I just believe that's going to happen because psychologically, getting somebody's attention, honestly, is not that hard. It's not. I can put sex up on and get your attention. I can put a puppy. We know neurologically, big round eyes and cheeks, they grab your attention. The problem is maintaining attention. And we used to think, well, if I can maintain attention just long enough for you to get through this ad, but the data is showing you that sometimes you're getting up to like maybe 1/4 of a second on an ad before I disengage. In 1 second, I can't even get cognition to start. I can't even get you to think about an ad. That's how fast it's happening. So I think we're going to have to learn more about neuroscience. And I think we're going to have to try to build some kind of a desire inside of any ad, anything, even the baby face that connects, not just that's a cute baby, but that cute baby is going to help me reach some sort of an aspirational goal. And unfortunately, if you're a creative guy out there, that is hard to do, man.
That's why I always double back to the offer, because if I can get your email or your phone number, I can story tell you outside of that and take more at bats. And I think one interesting trend that I'm seeing is communities. So we're working on a community project right now that's actually going to roll out pretty soon. And I've always been like, is this going to really do anything? Because it's so hard to get people off of Facebook, right? Discord is amazing. It's so much more. You can do so much more with it than Facebook. But trying to move a Facebook community into Discord, you're going to lose 80% of them in the process. But I was intrigued when at our summit in October, I think it was a guy named Douglas James who was on a panel that I was running, said something like, yeah, but I don't care. Because the 10% that'll follow me into my own community where I'm the only thing I have full control is worth more than the 80% that's being distracted by puppies and babies and Facebook.
Great point.
I'll take the 10% all day long. And so I was like, wow, then maybe this will work. Maybe that's the ultimate, is marketing people into your own community where you can foster it in whichever way you want and do live videos with people and build that up. I've kind of changed my tune. I think it's going to be pretty powerful, but it is hard to get somebody out of that constant dopamine flood into a quieter world where you can focus on one message for longer than 10
seconds. But then, I would even say though, Chase, with that, especially after COVID isolate, and actually social media isolates us so much that I can make the case that what you're going to see is great growth in building communities. Because as much as we pretend like we feel like we're a community because we're following somebody, there's not really community. And we know that from psychology studies that people's feelings of belonging, we talk about in my book, optimistic belonging or cautious belonging, I mean, this desire to be affiliated and accepted by others with have similar beliefs or whatever, to be bigger, a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's a core desire that so many people have. And even though social media is supposed to bring us all together, it really has isolated people more and more. And so I think communities may be the way in. It really could be. Yeah, and ice cream. That's right, Bill.
Yeah.
This past weekend, I spoke to a group, and this lady that leads this group, she innately started getting these registered investment advisors together. Okay, and they went around a room and introduced themselves, and it was cool how the feelings that they get from being in that group is huge. And yet, the leader of the group wasn't saying anything. And yet, the leader of the group's getting the credit for making those connections there, right? But yet, the value in the group is all this interaction in the group.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. What I would say when we talk about communities or the belonging mind state, one of the things we talk about in the book is your job is to literally exit that group and let them, you're enabling them to have the conversations. You're not, if you're always the moderator, there's not really connection. It's you versus all these other people. But when you let them, and so a part of the mind state strategies are create systems where they get to talk to each other and your job is to back out over time. But you're right. What happens is the person who creates the community gets all the benefit of it, all the benefit, because they have, this world that Chase brought up. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
I see this more and more and I love it. And I think if agencies can start figuring out how to build this for their clients, it'll be incredibly powerful, where you build the community, you know, sort of runs itself like you're talking about, but you're constantly just bringing in experts. And so again, you get all the credit because it's your community, but you're not actually doing most of the work. Like every week you're bringing in some ancillary expert that your group is benefiting from. But again, you get all the glory because it's your community. And so I think seeing communities pop up around businesses is probably going to be a trend that we see more and more of over the next couple of years.
You know, I think that ties up really this conversation really well, because we have a short attention span. I'm on those YouTube shorts, and they always start off, and my brain's going, am I going to hang out here for 30 seconds to see what the outcome of this opening scenario is that I've got, right? And in a conversation like this, the same thing's going on. So you've got something the same, Steve and Will, but then the unknown, the unexpected is Chase. And so they're hanging around going, am I going to, oh, I like Chase. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I know what to expect, but this is unexpected. And then I know how it's going to end up. And then I know to expect the next episode, something similar.
Yeah, it works.
Good take, Steve. Good take.
So, Chase, thank you so much for being on here. I knew you would be an excellent guest and provide excellent value. If folks have enjoyed learning about you, how would they connect more?
For sure. Thanks for having me, guys. Twitter is where I spend most of my time socially. So I'm at WC Buckner. My name is actually William Chase Buckner. I go by my middle name. So if you're on Twitter, come say hi. I'd love to connect there. I keep my Instagram for friends and family, which was probably stupid because it's where everybody wants to connect. but yeah, other than that, gohighlevel.com is where we live as a company. We've got a 14-day free trial. If you like anything that you heard, we'd love for you to come and check us out.
So you said WC Buckner. Mm-hmm. Was WC Fields, was his middle name Chase?
Probably not. What's funny?
Chesterfield. It feels like a Chesterfield kind of guy to me.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Chesterfield or something like that.
That'll be a Google that I do in a couple of seconds. No, I am Bill Buckner, which for many years of my childhood, I had no idea why that was a terrible thing. And at one point, somebody showed me the clip, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. And we actually, it's a tradition in my family. I'm actually the third. My son is W.C. Buckner the fourth. And so, yeah,
He's far removed from that. He's not going to hurt you. You got hurt a little bit from that. He's removed from that. Thank God.
That's why. But there's so many. I don't know. There's thousands and thousands of Steve Browns. So that's why I just made my middle name ROI. So that at least I have a little differentiation. Will Leach, you've done an awesome job of differentiating yourself, making a name for yourself. Your book's a very, it's a big seller. It's always useful. A lot of folks are reading it. I highly recommend it. Will, what is something that someone should do should they want to connect with you?
Yeah, well, if you want to connect with me, what I do is I have something called a masterclass. So if you're sitting out there and you're thinking to yourself, how do I create communications that are emotionally, psychologically compelling? But you don't want to do this yourself. You don't want to earn a PhD in neuropsychology. Do you, Steve? That would not be fun. It's fun for me. It's not fun for you. So you go to mindstategroup.com, look up the masterclass, guys. There is a program that you can start right now today. You could start learning how to tap into your customer psychology to craft up better communication. So take a look at it at mindstategroup.com.
Can I pitch Will for a second? Not knowing what he does in his group, but I have always said that nurture content is such an you could go build a business just around that, right? Like pick an industry and create whatever X amount of emails and text messages that tell fantastic stories that would work for any dentist, any whatever. And just go around and say, do you have a nurture series? They're going to say no. And you should say, you should set one up. And I've got one that I know works. I think you could make a fortune just going around selling bundles of content that has psychological principles behind it.
Thank you. It sounds like you've talked to Steve. Steve tells me that stuff all the time.
Thank you, Chase. What do they call it? The familiarity principle, where it's like the ideas from the guy you see every day, you dismiss him immediately. You come around after a stranger walks up.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. I know. Here's what I'll do. Next week, I'll go, you know, man, Steve, I've been thinking about this idea. And it'll be coming totally for me. I'll believe it's me. Psychology in there, Chase. I'm telling you. It's coming for me. Like, I dreamed about this. I just feel like this is the new path. But no, you're right. Hey, listen, if you want to build anybody out there, if you want to build, you know, emotionally engaging creative, you have to bring them into the story. Story brand gets you only so far because it tells you the script to build story. Guys, you have to understand their science behind story, and it's all in the behavioral sciences space. And just like Chase, you said, like, you know this stuff intuitively, but if you don't know this stuff intuitively, you can learn it. And it's just through behavioral psychology, marketing to mind state. So if you don't feel comfortable with it, go check a look at the book. It's an easy place to start, and you'll learn all sorts of cool little techniques to try to build that emotional engagement.
Well, another great episode of the Mind State Marketing Hour. Will, you've been great as usual. Chase, pleasure to have you. Who am I? I'm the co-host, Steve Brown. I like to say I'm the smartest guy in marketing because I hang out with Will each every week, as you should, so you can be smart in marketing as well. So we have got some really great banners here. Be sure to reach out to Will. You can get him at themindstategroup.com. If you don't have his book, obviously you need to get his book. I had a banner somewhere, but I'm not finding it. We're going to roll it out here.
So busy.
Okay. Also know that we're a podcast, one of the top rated podcasts in behavioral science. All the places that the cool kids listen to podcasts, and you can watch on the Mind State channel on YouTube as well. Share with your friends, your neighbors, your mom, your dad even might have something they enjoy. Thanks, team. We'll see you next week at the same time.
Thanks again for listening to the Mind State Marketing Hour podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you stay up to date with each episode. And please share this podcast with others who could benefit from hearing Will's insights on all things marketing. Each episode has supporting information in the book, Marketing to Mind States. And for more information, visit us at mindstategroup.com.